On the hill overlooking Athenia Magical College, there is a wide pit, a bit like a sandbox, and in it, thousands upon thousands of stones ranging from the size of a large marble on down. They fill it out, and really, if you dug your arm down into it, feeling the pleasant texture, the smooth stones, you'd find it goes very deep. And what's sitting up there, glistening in the sun, in an array of different glassy colors, is actually just the surface, just those that have frothed up this week to reveal themselves. Stones containing replays of memory, into which you might delve. The only possible side effect being, if you embrace the memory laid therein, you might find yourself accessing it at other times as well. You might find that some training and effects from them can linger, but this has not stopped anyone yet. Stopped no one from settling in, with one of those many stones in the palm of their hand, the legs crossed, leaning against one of the many trees from the stand atop the hill. And in that shade, zooming their attention in on the stone, until, in whatever color and characteristic of it, vision fades, and you delve within to be immersed body and mind and moment into a particular vision of reality, shifted only slightly. For whatsoever world you end up in, it seems and feels natural, normal, even like it has always been so. And the act of exploring it just takes you deeper into another's memory. The exploring may change you, but only if you welcome in the elements of that other world, of its training and particulars. And even now, sitting with a light brown, shiny, reflective glass sphere in hand, staring at it, watching the delicate hue from inside fill you, a sensation of lust, of bestial desire, and of trained, well-controlled, practiced ease all filling you. A confidence about your body which only increases when you lean back against the tree, close your eyes, and still see the reflection of the sphere in your head, sliding in, going to a vision of another place, and a place where you have always been, a place not too dissimilar from the hill on which the whole process began. The breeze is cool, the day is warm, familiar, fields and an open space, refreshing. In that place, you see a wood-walled building. A light pours out from within when the door is opened, and though it looked a bit like a simple farmhouse outside, the inside is long corridors, brushed steel stalls, and along the back wall, some kind of apparatus, machinery. It's cool in here. It resembles a dairy in its own way. So you know they'd have to keep it cool, safe, clean. There's a woman there. A woman who takes care of people in this particular mental landscape. She is approaching. She has gloved hands and a smile. You know that while she may be brusque, swift, she's always kind. She just has a job to do. And that's why the clean, heated, tiled floors of that space contrast with the cooler air. And that's why walking in, her gloved hand reaching out, lightly taking you by the collar, hard to know when the collar was there, and leading you further in, it all feels normal and natural enough. And you're willing and ready to welcome it, for the promise of pleasure to follow. You are nude, comfortable. Her gloved hand pulls by your collar, but you follow quickly enough. It is in your nature to follow, for this woman in her long white coat, in her simple uniform, with her white gloved hands, wherever she's taking you. Her sensible, flat shoes, her hair bound back. She is businesslike in every respect, but pleasure is the business of this place. You notice she has a leash in her other hand, but no need to use it, not with you. It's simple, black, leather. When you get nearer to the stall, she does reach up and click it into a hook in your collar. You feel her fingers brush against the lock in the back of the collar, at the back of your neck. An almost affectionate gesture. She leads you into one of the stalls. There is a padded floor. Your hands and knees sliding down. You feel accustomed to that position, so when you take it and she looms above, the pleasure radiating from the situation and the control, both control over herself and the situation, and yes, over you, it all just makes a complete picture. The padded floors. It's under you, moving a little. Really, you're swaying back and forth, following her deeper into a stall, a particular padded stall. Her hands slide to the back of your neck, rubbing gently over your skin, kneading your sore muscles from any crawling, kneeling, walking, or coming you did earlier. Your mind awash in the cherished and simple pleasure of that moment. You know you're safe, cared for. This place is the milking room, to milk a particular part of you. Most of you just wants to let out what you've been holding on to. Let out the pent-up groans and gasps. That's really all you could say or let out at this point. As she moves you around the stall, on your hands and knees, on the padded floor, inspecting and considering you, helping to place you in position. The pillowy softness of the ground is a comforting, anchoring presence, but you never miss a chance to look up and see, under her short skirt, her panties dripping and wet. From your position on the floor, it's easy to look up, but then she grips her hand against the back of your head and points your gaze toward the floor, even though the arousal has you throbbing. She moves you over to a corner of the room, to a padded table. It's a little shorter than where your shoulders are when you move on hands and knees. You're throbbing. You lay over it. It takes minimal prompting for her to get you exactly where you need to be. She tugs the leash that you have no need for, adjusts the collar that you know you love to have on, and you're in position in no time. There are shackles on either side of the little supported wooden bench, and as is the habit, as is the procedure, she locks them around your wrists. They're there to keep you in place once the procedure begins, rather than to truly restrain you. They're for your safety and greater enjoyment, and they are padded, soothing on the inside. When she buckles them, your erection truly begins to grow. It has grown so much since you came here, turning from a tame little thing into a throbbing, massive, animalistic sign of surrender to your own urge, the veins standing around the shaft, the balls so heavy they almost weigh you down and smack between your legs when you do crawl, as you are so wont to do. She explains, as she always does, can't have studs getting hurt in here. Need to keep you in place so you don't move wrong when we're doing our business. Are you ready? You feel her reach under you. One hand gently cups those massive, distended balls, and the appreciative sound which escapes from her comes as no surprise. She's rolling the sack in her hand. This isn't quite enough yet. You just need a little more. We're gonna have to work on that. Of course, she says that every time. And of course, every time, your mind objects, saying, of course they're big enough, they're throbbing, they need release. Why would you open your mouth? Isn't it time for your cock to be milked? Logic fighting with animal need, as always. They've trained you, but they've always left this little moment of consideration where you forget. Where you forget what's coming. In one of her gloved hands, you see she has pulled a tool down from the wall. It looks a little bit like a gag, a ball gag maybe, and it clips neatly to your collar, and then wraps around the back of your head, and then the tip of it slides in your mouth, which you open. There is a thrilling, heated pleasure in your head. From the moment she brings the tool toward your mouth, you deeply want to suck on that tube, that small protrusion, that clean, almost sterile, almost medical-looking tip. And you do suck. They have trained you. And the pleasure as your mouth slides open, as you feel something thick, sweet, syrupy slide over your tongue. The pleasure is all. You groan. It slips down your throat and seduces away some of the thoughts inside your mind, taking them with it. Every new drop of the stuff that oozes from that gag you're willingly sucking on, every little bit, seduces, Pied Pipers away some thoughts from your head, carries them down to your belly, and then lower. You feel your balls hot. Heat. Her hand is still there, the warm feeling spreading through your body. Your buttocks move forward as you hump. Your hips are thrusting. The warmth is going right to your head, resonating in you need, ache, desire, and need. The attendant leans down, brushes a hand sensually down your back, inspects the place where that gag, that tube, that wonderful source of the studifying elixir, inspects where it joins to your collar, where it becomes just another part of the equipment and accessories of you. Now let's see, she says. What's pouring into you now are the special hormones, here to get you in shape. You maybe need just a little more. But you remember how she has been saying that you need just a little more, over and over and over. To be used properly for milking, we've got to get you used to the idea. You know this is a kind of script, but you keep saying it. But we're going to need more volume if we're going to use you like the stud you're supposed to be. In the midst of swallowing down that seductive stuff, part of you does visualize the ideal stud humping away at her behest, the ideal stud coming harder than ever before on hands and knees, laid on this comfortable padded table, and therefore able to just let go, to focus only on your cock, which is presently hard, so hard it's smacking upward into her palm because she's gripping it with a gloved hand and you like the different texture, and then she starts to speak again. So just listen. It's really simple. That stuff responds to the right word at the right time. Your head, too. When we fill your stomach with it, your balls fill up, too. And I'll control and guide. Then she reaches under you, puts her other hand on your balls, the first one still gripping your cock now. And she then slides both up toward your stomach, leaving your cock and balls untouched to suddenly dangle free of her control, feeling unnaturally thick and heavy compared to what they once were. You can already feel your balls flooding, your cock standing. That serum is being absorbed into your body, your eyes roll back, and you hump. And instead of the steady, methodical, might-be-deliberate humping, now it's spasmodic, involuntary, induced, wonderful, intense humping you enjoy. You want more of this? You nod in affirmation of her request that you just slow down your thrusting. But that means you're staying still with your lower body while spasms involuntarily make your cock jump, your balls move, your thighs twitch. You can't imagine being this hard moving around. So hard, your cock's poking up against your stomach with its rigidness. The head of it is rubbing on your belly, leaving little streamers of pre-cum. You know you're not coming yet because your mind goes white hot when you come these days. Your brain goes blank when you come these days, and you can still think enough to know that you're so engorged with cum in your balls that your cock is leaking. You imagine it's leaking the same thick, viscous stuff in your throat. You're still drinking little trickles from that gag. It only comes to the entrance to your mouth, but it binds there. But if you suck willingly, you can get more. Eventually, they'll shut off the tap, but now you're going to get as much as you can. And your arousal is so great, you feel the pre-cum dribbling, forming a pool that is connected to your belly, sticky, cooling. You feel your stomach, the slight wetness from the throb. Yes, the throb. When that elixir has flowed down your throat and seduced away all of your thoughts, the only thing remaining in your mind is the throb. Combination heartbeat, pulsation, and constant cock throbbing, little gushes emerging, not quite coming, not quite pre-cum, not quite avoidable. Your balls feel swollen, and yet they are pulled up against your body, as if preparing for the spurt. She leans up and pats you gently on the head, then runs her fingers down across your back once more, explaining. You see, all we need to do is put you in a state like this, where you're relaxed, susceptible. We can talk about one thing, then another, then tie the two together, and when we tie them together, a third may be added. It becomes easier to free a part of you that's already there, that urge to rut and mate when you're supposed to, followed by the feeling of that thick, spurting seed. We want it. We'll just take one part of you and link it with another, and get what we need to milk out of you. It's so wonderful when the right thing gets said. Something just happens to your body, doesn't it? For example, feel how hard you are. Those words and the click of some fingers, and suddenly you do truly feel how hard you are, thinking about your cock, thinking with your cock, the only thought present in your brain being just how rigidly firm it is, how all the veins stand out, how your cock links to your balls, and your balls link to your brain is hard as well, and it's hard to think but easy to be hard and in the moment and throb, gush. Little gushes, as if, although you are not coming, too much seed has formed in your balls and it has to push itself out in a wave that feels almost as good. And you heard her say those words, and she says them again. Feel how hard you are. Bigger. That's another word she says, and you feel your cock swelling in her hand. You didn't imagine it could be that big, that thick, that heavy, almost weighing your hips down if you weren't laying on the little raised table. And she keeps speaking. And you keep drinking down the delicious fluid, which still has not stopped. That's more than other days, you think. And you feel the growing in your cock. Bigger. You feel it. You feel it swelling. Something warm, starting at the base, resonating between your legs. Warm waves consuming and controlling your lower body. And there you feel them tensing up, pulling against your body, as if you were about to come. And if you get bigger, you get to where you're almost about to come. It inches you closer, but you're not. I feel them, she says, growing in my hands, the shaft too, balls and cock growing bigger. Whenever I grab your balls or your shaft and tell you they need to be bigger, they swell. Your mind is white hot after she finishes speaking, more and more of your muscles involved in the studying process between your legs. Feel how hard you are. That instruction makes your mind climb inside your cock like it was before. Climb inside and you just feel your cock. You focus on and think with your dick. You're thinking with that length, that shaft, and the way that the nervous system, your entire body, your pleasure center, it's all there between your legs. All you need is what's between your legs. If something makes your cock feel good and brings it closer to being milked, it is a good thing worth pursuing. When you've been told to feel how hard you are, it's the only thing you feel. When you're told you're bigger, your cock swells, pulses. Yeah, we're almost there. You need to be emptied, don't you? You need to be milked, she says. But in order to fit the machine properly, you do have to get bigger. We just got a bigger model. You remember that last time you fit just fine, but if what she says is true and it's a bigger tube, you're going to have to get bigger to fit into the machine. You think of the machine and you shiver, squeezing and spasmodic. Each of her hands grasps around your length. It takes both of them now to go around the shaft, squeezing and massaging. She leans over you. Where your hands and knees are on the cool, padded floor, she places both her hands, one on each side of your shaft, and begins to stroke. She's moved around you and is reaching up from behind you now, so you feel the heat of her body. You feel the softness of her uniform. The need in your cock is being met by her hands, and throbbing in the back of your head is the awareness that you are so full up with cum, you don't know if you'll be able to stand it. She rolls your cock between her palms. It becomes warmer. Yes, I think we'll need to make this longer for optimum pleasure, instead of just bigger, instead of just making you feel how hard you are. Her hands start to slide across your shaft, repeatedly touching. It's like she's masturbating you, but it takes both hands to fit around the cock, interlaced just a little. And the more she strokes it, the more it feels like it's getting longer, less like your cock, more some long, animalistic, almost sagging if it weren't so hard kind of thing. So far from your body, you're getting lightheaded with pleasure. She's repeatedly masturbating you and warmth is flowing through you, and you're just thinking of how hard your cock is. It becomes warmer till that radiating heat hits your belly. You almost think the tip must be up to your chest with how long, how hard it is. It's pointing down at a slight angle now, a real stud cock, but it's still just as hard, and her hands are sending those flashes of warmth through you. All the time she instructed you to change it, all the time she triggered the effects of that serum in your belly, the thickness and length, you feel yourself practically weighed down by it. Not just physically, but the mental significance of being so controlled by the thick, pleasurable nature of your cock and the cum pulsing inside with its imperative to escape is too much to stand. You've let go. You are thinking with your cock. You're so heavy. Brain and balls. Cock and thoughts. Balls throbbing against your body, shaft resting at an angle, bigger, longer the more she strokes, instead of a trigger to make it bigger, instead of making you feel how hard you are. She's just stroking it, and that's making it bigger. Once we slide you into the milking device, we're going to need to get it out of you quickly. You're making so much so fast. It's making those oozing, ooh, feel that? And you do feel it, a spurt on the ground, onto the ground. You're wasting a lot of that cum. And the growth effect wears off over time. So I'm going to just get you in it, and I'm going to keep making you bigger. You'll be shrinking in between commands, but ooh, when it grows like that, that's going to be what's making it thrust. And when I say longer, because I can't always grab you, feel it getting stretched and sensitive, broader and heavier. When I say throb, that word is the blood running through you, the serum in you, the stud state in your brain. The engorgement of your length will throb, so you can get bigger, longer, throb. And sometimes I'm going to make your brain climb inside it just for our pleasure and remind you, feel how hard you are. Your cock is being palpated like this. Feel my hands on it right now? Well, even when it's in the machine, I can rub it from the inside out with the right word. Feel it. It's getting sensitive when you hear it throb. That makes you suddenly so aware of even the air around your cock pushing in. Throb is about outside stimuli and stimulus. Feel how hard you are. Is about interior awareness that you are within your cock. You could probably get off just by thrusting against the air when you throb. It's big enough right now. Feel the movement on it, even tiny bouncing movement caused by swaying your hips and humping like a horny stud. Even that could get you off. She brushes one of her fingers along your shaft, a deliberate, firm movement. If I just do that, it's enough to make you twitch and throb. Too bad you can't go anywhere in a position like you are. You can't even turn to look, but let me assure you, it is splendid. Your cock is glorious, and it's going in the machine now. Are you ready? Doesn't matter. Keep sucking. You drink down the serum. It's come down to a slow trickle now, enough to keep you topped up. You can't even turn to look at your cock, but you can certainly feel what she's doing. She's taking the weight off of it by raising it a little, reverently cradling it, moving the flesh. You're longer than before, bigger than before. You know she has those triggers at her disposal, and she says, throb. Her other hand grasps just the head of your cock, and the sudden throb in response to external stimuli makes you gush some of your cum into her hand. You feel the head slide through her fingertips as she lubricates you with your own pre-cum, cum, whatever that stuff is that keeps oozing out. She feels the weight in her hands and seems pleased. She grabs another tube from the wall, from near where she grabbed the one that went into your mouth. Then she brings it down toward your cock. You're humping at the air. You know this is the lubricated milking machine tube that when it attaches to your cock is going to bring you to the blissful escape you want, to the only thing that can empty your balls after they become so productive, after they're so big right now, bigger, she says, with commands that have made them cause you to spread and splay your legs. You're awkwardly humping. You're thankful for the padded floor. We can't have you come every 10 or 15 minutes, even every half hour. We need you coming almost constantly till you're empty. You feel your balls swell as she says this. You lean backward a little, leaning against her touch, because she's placed one hand at the base of your cock behind your balls, and the other is bringing that tube. We don't need to trigger anything. We don't need to do anything more. You're ready. When you come, you're going to keep coming. Your brain remembers the last time you came and keeps feedback looping you. One long, unending orgasmic spiral. You know this is part of the script, but when she says it, you climb inside her words the way your mind was climbing inside your dick a moment ago. Until you're empty. Because otherwise your balls would fill up way too fast. I'm gonna keep doing it. Gonna keep teasing. It does tend to melt the mind for a while, but that's okay, right? You nod fruitlessly, mindlessly, with your mouth around the thing you're sucking on, bringing more serum into you. You're not using that mind right now, anyway. We put you back in your pen at the end of the day. Well, your room now, we're upgrading you. You've been very productive. You shiver with pleasure at any praise from her. We'll just tell you to return at the end. We will return you to normal at the end. And your cock will go back to normal. It always does after time. See, it's already shrinking a little bit. Bigger. Longer. Feel how hard you are. She gives the commands and they top you back up. Same with the balls. Masturbating will only let you come once after this. But when you come once, you're going to want to come again and you can come back here. Nothing we can do. You're going to want to be big and thick and back here listening, but having to walk around like that, that would result in you scraping on the ground. That poor cock. That's why I'm here to cradle it and massage it. That's why it'll go back to normal at the very end. We need it safe and big and hard, bigger. The tube slides around your cock at that moment. A moment when you've swollen particularly large. So, the tube, although it is bigger than last time, is just tight enough with its well-lubricated interior to meet the lubricated exterior of your cock and grip it tight from the head down. It is yielding and warm. There are folds inside the milking tube. It wraps around you like a stroking toy, but this is long and connected to tanks elsewhere in the complex, and it's in her hand. So, when she has just a little trouble getting it over the thickest part of your cock, she jerks it a few times and waits for you to get smaller so she can push it on you further. All you can do is moan. No moan would be enough. No groan. No exultation of pleasure. No dirty talk. No acknowledgement. No thank you. But all you can do is suck around the gag anyway. There is nothing you could say that would describe the nirvana that is being inside the machine, having, instead of her brief stroking, instead of her momentary stimuli, a true, encapsulating, fuckable, masturbatory experience. The device pumps and begins to milk you. Pumps and squeezes. You thrust into it. It's locked around you, jerking you off continuously. She keeps you there. One hand now sliding away from your cock and up to your back, pushing down, encouraging you to thrust. Most of you's on that table, but you can move enough that your hips thrust against what you've realized is a fastened, suction-cupped, sealed-on milking device, and a pneumatic element of that machine makes it pump on your cock even while you hump into the folds. She periodically assists it, sliding it to the base of you, monitoring its movements, but you really needn't bother. You could just be there, humping away, thrusting away for a very long time. And whenever your cock starts to shrink, she reminds you of your triggers. Bigger. You're so hard. Feel how hard you are. Longer. Throb. When you're told to get bigger, stud, those balls swell in her hand. When she pushes the device on and off of you, she's jerking your cock off, and you were already so close to coming anyway. It was only the gingerly, direct, but gentle touching. It was only the light, controlled nature of her caress that enabled you to keep from coming, and now you are in a machine that is a little rougher. Your cock is hot, hard, throbbing. It's going to squirt. The inevitability of your climax is as assured as your triggered response is locked into bigger. Throb. Feel how hard you are. Longer. Words that make sense, words that are simple. Throb for external stimulation. Feel how hard you are for internal thinking with your cockness. Bigger to make your balls and your shaft like that. Larger, throbbing, swelling, filling the milking machine. And longer to fill out the shaft, making it feel heavy, making it point diagonally down from your body. You thrust your big stud's cock inside the machine, your brain getting hazy, pleasantly aligned with everything that's happening. You want this. You want to be milked. You are going to come. You are going to squirt. Mindless, helpless in that machine until eventually you are allowed to go back to a place to rest, allowed to go back to a place where you might lay on your belly, your thickness under you, and return gradually to normal. Eventually you'll feel that unbinding taking over, but right now, squirt, come. Thick, bigger, hard cock deep in the device, squirting rope after rope as all of the pent-up, edged-up pleasure finds a way out of your body and your mind is just in your supercharged, hyper-extended length. Squirting thick, feeling it get pulled away from your cock by the suction cup machine, and just like she predicted, you're coming and coming and coming with your head blank, your body sweating, and all of you is locked into thinking with and thinking about your hard cock, which swells and squirts inside the machine, and every time it might get small enough to slip out, you're reminded bigger, harder, throb, bigger and longer and throbbing inside of it. It milks you, sucking away all your cum, so much cum in your balls, and just when you think they might be emptying, they're filling up again. Hyperproduction that keeps you locked in an endless cycle. You're sucking at the device in your mouth, a fresh flood of that sweet syrupy blankness, sliding, slipping down your tongue as you cum, as you cum, as you squirt and you cum, and you are a stud coming, providing your seed. You are coming, your balls emptying, your cock squirting. You know you must be making that hose affixed to the suction machine, must be making it swell with your sheer output, the volume of your spooge flying from your cock deep into the device, squirting out, and with it squirting out, pushing all the spots inside your shaft that when they expand, they get you way too far gone to think. Your hypercharged cock is more sensitive, spread out and thick, hard, hot, and long, and sensitive, oversensitive, because the pleasure builds and it can build more when you're coming and coming longer and longer and harder until your shivering body at last runs out of energy, collapses in place, and you breathe slow in what you think is the aftershock, what you think is the afterglow. But she's not nearly ready to let you rest, stroking the toy on and off of your cock continuously. Toy, milking machine, there's no real difference. She holds you in place, one hand on your ass, pushing you forward and back, making you keep a mechanical pace of tormenting your own body by thristing in and out, rocking the table you're resting upon. Your cock is so big, and it can just put so much pleasure through you when it's squirts and squirts and squirts your mind away, spurting every bit of cum in your balls out until eventually it will slow to a trickle. But until then, you'll be there spasming, be there letting out waves, be there providing the cum a good stud should, with her purring encouragement in your ear the whole time, keeping you right on edge when you do fall back from actively squirting, getting you right back up toward it, leaving you to shiver, shudder, sweat, and eventually slowly return to normal, trying to weather the frying, melting, continuous storm of pleasure assailing your brain every moment that your turbocharged cock is at the size it's at, or larger, because she might say bigger. She might tell you to focus on how hard you are, feel longer, or with your cock out in the open air, eventually slickly freed of the milking tube, your cock to throb.